So we're beginning here on the bottom of Yud Zayin Amud Bet by the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Chaliyot Achar Shabbat. If Yom Tov falls out after Shabbat, B'Shemai Omrim, Matmilina Tokom Lifnei Shabbat. In order to be Mitaher, all the items you need for the Rego for Yom Tov, you can't bring them to the Mikvah on Shabbat, and therefore you need to take care of all of this before Shabbat. And as Rashi points out over there, the Kaimelan B'Rosh Hashanah, Chayiv Adam L'Taher Tatzmo B'Rego. Person has to make himself Tahor on the Rego. That's both himself and the utensils he's going to be using, because then he could do Aliyah the Rego, and he could participate in the Kodoshim and all the things that are going on inside of Yerushalayim. So there's a mitzvah to be Tahor for the Rego. So what Beit Shammai says is, since you are precluded from doing that on Shabbat, that falls out on Erev Yom Tov, you must take care of all these items on Erev Shabbat. Beit Hillel Omrim, Kelim Lifnei Shabbat, as regards to utensils or Kelim, that's true that they have to be taken care of on Erev Shabbat. But Adam, the person themselves, B'Shabbat, they can even go to the mikvah on Shabbat itself. B'Shavin, and everybody agrees, Shemashikim et amayim b'kli evin l'taharan, that you can take care of water to make it tahor on Shabbat, avalo matbilin. But you can't do tvilah, umatbilim migav legav, umichabura lechabura. So these last three statements of the Mishnah are slightly different topic. The first of which is dealing with water that is potable water and is tameh. So you want to be mitaher this water that is potable water because it's able to be used for drinking. Then and the mikveh water is dirty and it's not potable water. So now how do I make something tahor without ruining the potability of the water? Now this is something that's unique to water, because when it comes to food items or food substances, they can't become tahor. Once they're tamei, unless they rot or something ruins them, they remain tamei. On the other hand, water is unique in the sense that water can be, quote-unquote, planted in the mikveh. That is, when you put the water into the mikveh, it becomes one with the mikveh. And since it becomes one entity with the mikveh, it's as if it's part and parcel of the mikveh. So what you do is you take a utensil with this potable water filled up to the top, and then you submerge that kli into the mikveh, and the potable water will remain inside the cup, and the main mikveh will touch it, and that hashaka, that kiss between the mikveh and the potable water, will make the water tahor. That you're allowed to do on Shabbat. What you're not allowed to do is take a kli that is tamei and then submerge the kli along with the water, because then the mikveh will not only be mitaher the water, it'll also be mitaher the kli, and that's not allowed. And that's why it says here, you can mashikim et amayim b'kli evin. Kli evin is a stone utensil, because stone utensils don't become tamei. So there's no chashash and there's no worry about you being mitaher the stone utensil, because it can't become tamei to become tahor. But if you use a wooden utensil, for instance, that is tamei, that would not be permitted in terms of being mitaher the mayim, or making it tahor through what's called zriya or hashaka, submerging it into the mikveh. The last two items will be discussed on tomorrow's daf, which are matbilim migav legav, something that was put in the mikveh for a particular type of tahara, one can then put it into the mikveh again for another type of tahara, since that's not a real change in the status of the kli, it's really tahor, it's just a chumra ba'alma, and we'll see later on in tomorrow's daf as to exactly what the pronunciation and what is meant by this. U'michabura lechabura, the same is true by a korban pesach, someone made themselves and their kelim to orim to be in a chabura of pesach, and then they switch which chabura of pesach they're going to join, then if they go to the mikveh again, or they put their kelim to the mikveh again, that's not problematic, because again, that's just a chumra ba'alma, that's not a real going to the mikveh that is necessary to make you tahor, because you are already tahor. Now the Gemara says, "Dekuli alma miyat kli b'Shabbat lo." Everybody agrees that utensils cannot be put in the mikveh on Shabbat. My time up. What's the problem with that? The way the Rabbeinu Chananel phrases the question is, "Kelim d'lav b'nei schitaninu." If you have utensils that are not subject to squeezing water out of them, they can't absorb water that you can squeeze it out and do schita, then what's the reason that you can't put them into the mikveh? I understand maybe if you're talking about clothing, you're talking about items that absorb water, then we have a chashash of schita, of squeezing the water out afterwards, which might be problematic. But kelim is a large category that includes even items that are not subject to schita. Nevertheless, we're saying that you can't do that on Shabbat. So what is the driving force behind this restriction on Shabbat? So Amar Rabba, Gzeira, Shema Yitlenu B'Yadov, Yerenu Arba Amot B'Rshut Rabim. So Rabba, like he says in many other instances with regards to Megillah, with regards to lulav, with regards to shofar, says that when a person is preoccupied in doing a mitzvah, he might come to forget himself, and then he'll end up carrying the item for amot in Rishut Rabim, and he'll violate Shabbat in pursuit of the mitzvah. And similarly over here, if we allow someone to take a kli to the mikveh and be mitaheret, he might carry it in Rishut Rabim to go to the mikveh. Thus, what over here asks, like he does in the other locations, like in the Gemara and Sukkah, Tema, Milo Kamar, Shemi Yotzenim, Rishut Yachid, Rishut Rabim. Why are you only worried about carrying it for Amot in Rishut Rabim? Why aren't you worried about him carrying it from Rishut Yachid to Rishut Rabim or vice versa? He says that has a delineation. Carrying from Rishut Yachid to Rishut Rabim, changing Rishut, usually has some sort of threshold between them that would be a reminder not to carry from one to the other. Whereas when you're talking about Arba Amot Rishut Rabim, that's just open space, and therefore a person doesn't take it to heart that they are possibly doing something wrong when they are carrying in Rishut Rabim, because there's no cue or reminder to let them know that they're doing something wrong. In the Gemara in Sukkah, Tosafot mentions over there the possibility that maybe when it comes from Rishut Yachid to Rishut Rabim, that when you pick it up, you're not picking up with the intention to walk out with it, because the Akira wasn't done for an Akira in order to move from Rishut Rechein to Rishut Rabim. You forgot yourself and then you took it out afterwards. So the Akira is not a full Akira that could be for a Hanacha when you go into Rishut Rabim, and therefore you would not have a problem of carrying Rishut Rechein to Rishut Rabim, at least in that situation, because you'd be missing an Akira that's done the shame Hotza'ah. Although many point out that you could say the same thing about Arba Amot Rishut Rabim. The person picked it up, they weren't intending to necessarily carry it Arba Amot Rishut Rabim. So Abai says to his Rebbe, Rabbo, Yesh lo bor b'chatzero ma'ika l'meimar. What happens if he has a cistern? He has a mikveh in his backyard. So then why should it be restricted? According to you, the whole problem is if you go out Arba Amot b'shut rabim. But if he has a private mikveh, he has a mikveh in his backyard, why can't he do a tevila in his backyard? And this question is unique to this situation of mikveh, and is not brought up by the other cases like shofar, lulav, and megillah, because of the nature of the problem. Over here, the problem is that the person is going to go and take it to the mikveh. That's something that is put into the hands of common people. Everybody knows how to take something to the mikveh, mitaharet in the mikveh. And therefore, everybody can be engaged in this. And therefore, the question is, if I can't do it in Rishut Rabim, let me do it in my backyard. That type of question is not relevant by shofar, lulav, and megillah, because over there, you're taking it over to the baki. And so you don't have a baki in your backyard. The baki is someone who is far away or is not near you, and therefore you're going to carry it to that baki. So it's very different over there. You're going to a particular individual who is not always present with everybody, and therefore there's always a problem. We can't say what happens if he lives near you, because the idea of a baki is that somebody who's independent of you. But here by mikveh, since the ability to do this mitzvah and to carry Rishut Rabim is in the hands of everyone, that's why the Gemara poses the question here as to what happens if he has a private boar in his backyard. Maybe he should be able to do it then. The Gemara says, or the way the rabbi answered it, is that like zera boar b'chatzero ata boar b'shut rabim. That's a zera of a boar in his backyard unto a boar, a cistern, a mikveh in Rishut Rabim, because not everybody has a mikveh in their backyard. We have to look at this on an objective level, and we can't say, well, people have private mikvot can use them, people are going to the public mikvot can't use them, because there'll be confusion about this. So even if this particular individual has a boar in his chatzer, that doesn't mean his friend has a boar in his chatzer. Gemara says, ha'atinach Shabbat. That makes sense on Shabbat when there's an Easter of carrying. B'yom tov ma'ika l'meimar. On Yom Tov, where it's permitted to carry, then you don't have this restriction. You should be able to put something in the mikveh on Yom Tov, and we don't find that you're allowed to put kelim in the mikveh on Yom Tov, where it says, Gazru Yom Tov atu Shabbat. They made a gzera of Yom Tov because of Shabbat. If we don't stop you doing it on Yom Tov, you're also going to do it on Shabbat. So inherently, Yom Tov is not problematic, but we worry about you doing it on Yom Tov, because then you'll come to do it on Shabbat. Tosfot over here says, V'lavi gzera l'gzera. That's not a gzera built on top of another gzera, because Yom Tov is Shabbat achati. Yom Tov and Shabbat are cut of the same cloth. As we saw before in the Gemara, they're both known as Shabbat. And since they're both days of Kedusha, we can lop them together into a single entity and say that gzera just affects holy days, or Mikrei Kodesh, which is both Shabbat and Yom Tov. On the other hand, Rashi minces no words and says that it is a gzera l'gzera, because he says when the Gemara asks the next question, mi gazrina, and since when do we put a gzera l'gzera? So according to Tosfot, the question is just simply, do we extend gzerot in this manner, even though they're not a gzera l'gzera? According to Rashi, that's the problem here. This is a gzera l'gzera. Since when do we impose gzerot gzerot v'atnan? Don't we have our Mishnah v'shavin? Shemashikim et amayim b'kli evin l'taharan. Our Mishnah says you can be mitaher water through hashaka in a stone utensil to make them tahor. Aval lo matbilin. But you can't do it with a kli that is tamei. Bim ita. And if your position is correct, that we worry about tevila even beyond the issues where it's actually being mitaher the item, then nigzor hashaka atu hatbala. Why don't we worry about hashaka because of hatbala? If you do tevilah, which would be problematic, then we should worry about hashaka as well, because it's similar, or it's in the same genre of actions or activities. And if you're going to tell me that we're Oser on Yom Tov because of Shabbat, then why aren't you Oser Hashaka because of Hatbalah? Now, Tosfot here poses a number of questions, especially relating to Hashaka, which is, why isn't there simply the same Gzeirah by Hashaka? Why do you have to do Hashaka atu Hatbalah because of Tfilah? Hashaka itself should present the problem, because you might come to carry the Kli, Arba Amot Bishut Rabim. So Tosfot over here draws a distinction, which he pushes through a number of different scenarios here, which is that a person will only make this mistake when they're a bahul, when they're under pressure. So if they're under pressure to do the tefillah or to get something tahor, then we worry about them carrying it arba amot b'shut rabim. Then if they're not under pressure, they're not under duress, then we will not assume that they'll make the mistake and carry it arba amot b'shut rabim. And that's the difference over here. Because v'yesh lamar, the gabi hatbalat kli tzarich l'migzar shemi arvenu l'fish l'ahut l'hat bilo. When it comes to a kli that he's tried to be mitaher, he's under duress, pressure, he's got to get it done. He's not under such pressure to get the water to be tahor. Because he might have other water that he could drink. And similarly, Tosfot says in the upcoming cases in the Gemara, where the Gemara draws a distinction between a Vlada Tuma and an Ava Tuma, how come by Vlada Tuma we don't say Shemer Yarvenu Arba Amot B'Shut Rabim? Tosfot again says She'enu Lahut. First, it's not under duress or pressure because it's only Tuma de Rabbanan, not Tuma de Uraita. So Tosfot makes that important distinction as to why we worry about certain things being carried in Reshut Rabim and other things we don't worry about, and only goes there up to the other item. And so Hashaka inherently or independently would not require a Gzeirah of Shem Yarvenu Davar Reshut Rabim. So it could be that by being Metayer Kelim, there's a mitzvah, and then when a person is engaged in a mitzvah, they're more likely to lose themselves and carry it Davar Amot Reshut Rabim, as opposed to Hashaka, where there's no mitzvah to be Metayer the Mayim, and then you won't be as caught up. That's maybe a little bit of a derivative of what Tosafot said. Another possibility is that that's exactly what the Gemara means. In the end, it's saying that the problem with Hashaka Atu Hatbala is that Hashaka should have the same restriction, which is that there's a possibility you're going to carry it Da'ad Amot B'Shut Rabim. But at least according to your logic, Abai is saying, Rabbah, that you say we're Gozer Yom Tov Atu Shabbat, we should be Gozer Hashaka Atu Hatbala. The Gemara answers on behalf of Rabbah, but Dizbara, does that make sense? Eat Le Maim Yafim Hani Lomeli. If he has other potable water, then why does he need this water? Why is he taking this water to the mikveh? Lemeba Dehu Hashaka, in order to be Metayer them through Hashaka. Ella Delaitle, must be this is the only potable water he has. Came Delaitle, Mizar Zayir Behu. And since this is all that he has, he'll be very careful about it. He'll be more attuned to being halakhically careful because he doesn't want to lose this water and he doesn't want them to become tamei. And since he's careful about it, the fact that they became tamei is an unusual occurrence. And we're going to invoke this principle over and over again, is that chachamim were not gozer, but makom shelo shchicha. Something that's an unusual event, the chachamim are gozer. They're gozer on regular default situations, not on unusual or outlandish cases. And over here, the fact that his only potable water became tamei is an outlier case. And the chachamim were not gozer in that case. And that's why there's no gzeira hashaka atu hatbala. Etave, madlin bedli. One can draw water with a utensil, and the utensil could be tamei, meaning that you'll draw water, and while you're drawing the water, the bucket that you're using to draw the water will be submerged in the water below, which functions as a mikveh, tahor, and it'll make the kli or the utensil tahor in the process of drawing the water. Rashi comments over here that the reason that you can only do it through drawing water and not directly is because time of the tevilah surah mishum dinira kid metaken kli. Doing a straight out tevilah is problematic because it looks like you're fixing the kli. Now that's very difficult in terms of Rashi's explanation over here, because Rashi's entering a reason that's going to be given by one of the other Amoraim later on. Rabba's reason for restricting tevilah is all because Shemi Yavrenu Dalet Amot Birshut Rabim. Has nothing to do with metaken kli. So you have to say, which is that, even though Amoraim here give other reasons, they all still believe that there is an aspect of tikkun kli here that's problematic with tevilah, and therefore it's a combination of their reasoning plus the reasoning of tikkun kli. Both Rashi and Tosfot are a little perplexed by this suggestion in the Gemara, because over here you're saying you can take a bucket and draw water with it, and through the drawing of the water, it'll become tahor. Incidentally, because you're submerging it in the water, why does that not work in our Mishnah? Our Mishnah said that when it came to Hashakat Tamayim, when it came to being Metaher, the water that's inside the Kli, you can't use a Kli Tamei, because that Kli Tamei would then become Tahor, and be as if you put it in the mikveh. So what's the difference between drawing water and being Metaher water? So Tosfot says it's about Mukha Milta. Depends on what it looks like. To an outsider, when they see you drawing water, that's exactly what they think you're doing, drawing water. If it happens to be incidentally, you also wear mitayer, the utensil that you're using, so be it. But the other people on the outside have no idea what you're doing. They think you're drawing water. On the other hand, when it comes to our Mishnah, it's clear that you're putting the water in the mikveh to be tovelet, because you're using a mikveh to be tovel, to be mitayer the water. So if you're doing that to tovel the water, you're also being tovel the kli. And therefore, it looks like you're engaged in an activity of tvila, and that's the problem of putting a tamei kli in, when you're doing hashaka, even though hashaka itself is permissible. V'imita, again, according to you, Rabbo, if you have these gzerot for things that are adjacent to the story of tefillah, just like Yom Tov Atu Shabbat and Bor B'chatzero, Atu B'bor B'shut Rabim, then also over here we should go there, a Dli Tamei that you're drawing water with, Atu, just taking a kli to the mikveh and being mitayret. V'imita nigzor, Dilma Atilet Bule Beine, because maybe you'll just do it straight out and go put it in the mikveh, even though here he's doing it through drawing the water. Since over there, the only permissible way to do it is through drawing the water, which is an unusual thing. Zachoru, that's a clear reminder to him that this is a unique way that he's allowed to be mitayer the kli. He can't simply submerge the kli in the mikveh and make it tahor. So he's not going to confuse the two situations. Eitavei, kli shimitma be'erev Yom Tov. A kli that became tamei before Yom Tov. As Rashi points out over here, that's be'ava tuma. It became tamei with a significant tuma de'uraito. And that will be explained in a second in the Gemara why that's significant. But it became tamei with that on Erev Yom Tov. Ein bat bili no tov be'Yom Tov. You can't put it in the mikveh on Yom Tov. Be'Yom Tov, if it became tamei on Yom Tov, mat bili no tov be'Yom Tov. Then you're allowed to put it in the mikveh on Yom Tov. Be'mita, if that's correct, nigzer de Yom Tov atu de'Erev Yom Tov. Why aren't we gozer tuma on Yom Tov, where you're taking and putting in the mikveh on Yom Tov, to the possibility that it happened before Yom Tov, and then you're putting it into the mikveh on Yom Tov. Where it says, Tuma b'Yom Tov milta de lo shchichai. Becoming tamei on Yom Tov is an unusual occurrence, but that's because, as Rashi says, Okol metayrim the regel, v'kon shekein shezirim limat tamei. If everybody's making themselves tohor for the regel, they're going to take extra precaution about not becoming tamei on the regel or on Yom Tov itself. So that would be an unusual occurrence. And again, we say, milta de lo shchichai lo gazer ubei rabbonu. Unusual circumstances aren't circumstances where the Chachamim make gzeirot, because they're outlier cases, and they're not the normal course of behavior, and therefore we're not going to look to find all these crazy situations and have gzeirot Chachamim applied to these crazy situations. They thought of mainstream situations. If there's not a mainstream situation, then there's no gzeirah. So even though if it became Tamei on Erev Yom Tov, we would say you should have put it in the mikveh on Erev Yom Tov. If you don't do it, we're not going to let you put it in the mikveh on Yom Tov. But if you did become Tamei on Yom Tov, which is this unusual situation or circumstance, there we would let you put it in the mikveh on Yom Tov, because you won't confuse the two. Since it's such an unusual case, and it's a rare occurrence that somebody becomes Tamei, or a utensil becomes Tamei on Yom Tov itself, we'll allow you to rectify that and put it in the mikveh, and there'll be no gzeirah onto a scenario where it became Tamei, or was Tamei before Yom Tov. Eitvei, klishni tma ba'ava tuma, eimad lidino to b'Yom Tov. Kli that became Tamei with an ava tuma, which means a tuma min a Torah, because a kli can only accept tuma from an avia vota tuma or an ava tuma min a Torah. We learned that out from kli cheres, where it says that any food items that are found inside the kli cheres that also has a sheretz inside of it, those food items become Tamei. The sheretz is an ava tuma. The kli cheres that's hosting them, meaning in its airspace, is a rishon the tuma, and the food items are a sheni l'tuma. And what we know from there is that you can only be mitamei food and drink. You cannot be mitamei kelim. That means that a rishon l'tuma cannot be mitamei kelim. Only an ava tuma can be mitamei kelim. So here when we're talking about an ava tuma, we're talking about tuma d'oraita that can affect all items. It can affect an individual. It can affect utensils. It can affect food items. So those ain't might be limotob yom tov. You can't put them in the mikvah on yom tov. If vlada tuma, if they become tamei with a lower level of tuma, matbilinotob yom tov, then you can't put it into the mikveh on Yom Tov. As Rashi discusses over here, the distinction is that an ava tuma is midoraita tamei. It's tamei min haTorah, and since it's tamei min haTorah, therefore when you put in the mikveh and you mitayer it, that's kimitakein. That's like really fixing it. And again here, Rashi uses the terminology tikkun, even though it's inside the world of Rabbah, which makes you wonder that even according to Rabbah, there must be some problem of tikkun kli, at least the way Rashi's expressing it. On the other hand, vlada tuma, which is really tahor min haTorah, means that a rishon l'tuma that is somehow mitamei kelim, which is only a rabbinic institution, that a rishon l'tuma can affect a kli, but others believe that the problem is not tikkun kli, but rather what Tosafot said before, which is when a person is not lahut, is not under duress or under pressure, he won't come to make mistakes and carry it out in the Rishut Rabim. And since you're dealing with a Vlada Tuma, there the person is not under duress. When you're dealing with a Ava Tuma, where it's Tuma Doraita, it's real Tuma, that's when the person's under duress, and they'll forget themselves and carry it out in the Rishut Rabim. So it may not be anything to do with Tikkun, Kli, the differential between them, rather the nature of your interaction with that type of Tuma. So Rashi says the Kli distinction over here is whether the Kli is Tamei Doraita or Tamei Midrabanan. Tamei Midoraita, then we're going to be considering it a Tikkun. According to the other way we said it, you're going to be Bahul on it, and you're going to carry it Rishut Rabim. But when it's a Vlada Tuma, which only Tuma Derabanan, you're not going to look at it as Tikkun Kli, because it's Tahor Midoraita, and you're not going to be Bahul on it to carry it in Rishut Rabim, Dalet Amot. Rashi does bring another interpretation, which is that Ava Tuma will require Herev Shemesh. Ava Tuma, if you put it into the mikveh, it still requires the sun to set before it becomes Tahor, and then that won't be usable on Yom Tov, because you have to wait for the sun to set. As opposed to Tuma Derabanan, that only requires you to take it to the mikveh and doesn't require you to wait for Erev Shemesh, so that it'll be usable on Yom Tov itself. Rashi rejects that explanation because he says that even a clay that's Tamei Ava Tuma, once you put it in the mikveh, it becomes a Tvul Yom, and a Tvul Yom is permitted to be used with Chulin and Maser. So there is a value in putting an Ava Tuma into the mikveh on Yom Tov, even though you'll never have a Erev Shemesh, the sun will never set on it on Yom Tov, and only be good after Yom Tov for the sunset. Nevertheless, on Yom Tov itself, it still brings it into a usable state. And therefore, that can't be the explanation over here, because there is a value to it, even when you put the Ava Tuma into the mikveh, just like there's a value for the Vlada Tuma, and therefore Rashi rejects that explanation. Tosafot brings both interpretations of Rashi, and then he brings two Balei HaTosafot, one who thinks that maybe the second can be possibly explained according to the Maskana of the Gemara, and another day on the Balei HaTosafot that doesn't work either. But then he has a stronger question, which is, why would you put a Vlada Tuma in the mikveh, according to Rashi, on Yom Tov? If you put it in the mikveh to make it Tahor, to use it for Chulin and Maser, it was usable for Chulin and Maser beforehand. It was only a Shein in the Tuma, which only affects Truma, doesn't affect Chulin and Maser. You don't even have to put it in the mikveh in order to be able to use it for Chulin and Maser. If you need it for Truma, then you're going to have to wait for Herev Shemesh, even by Vlada Tuma, and that will be usable after Yom Tov. So then putting it into the mikveh on Yom Tov for a Vlada Tuma seems to be a meaningless activity. So if you hold like that second version that Rashi brought down, that when you have a Vlada Tuma, you don't need Herev Shemesh, then we have a solution to that problem. According to the first reasoning of Rashi, where Vlada Tuma also requires Erev Shemesh, then why can you put a Vlada Tuma into the mikveh on Yom Tov? What purpose does it serve for you on Yom Tov? But he leaves it unresolved with regards to Rashi. You could answer, like the Gemara is going to discuss on tomorrow's daf, that when you do something that's just for a Maila of Tahara, then we don't consider that to be Mitakin or a problem on Yom Tov. And so maybe the same over here. When you take the Vlada Tuma to the mikveh, even though you could have used it for Chulin Maser anyway, but if you wanted to elevate its status and make it more tahor, we don't see that as being a problem mitakin or a problem of being tovel on Yom Tov. And again, if you think that there are gezerot or ancillary gezerot to protect against somebody doing the wrong thing in the main situation, then over here, why don't we go there by Vlada Tuma to prevent people putting in the mikveh on Yom Tov up to the possibility they'll put an Ava Tuma into the mikveh, which would be problematic. Where it says, Vlada Tuma Echa Mishkachada. Vlada Tuma by a Kli, how does it work? Again, we said before, in a Torah, a Kli cannot become Tamei from an Rishon Letuma. So now, how did this Kli become Tamei? That's because there's a Gzerat Chachamim, that Mashkim, liquids that are Tamei, that come into contact with a Kli, make it into a Sheni Letuma. That Sheni Letuma has no impact on Chulin or Maser, because they end at Sheni Letuma. Truma has a Shlishi Letuma, Kodashim has a Revi Letuma. That means that it being a Sheni Letuma Midrabanan is only impactful on Truma and on Kodoshim. And that's what the Gemara says. Hekim Shkakala Gabi Kohanim. That's only a situation that comes up by Kohanim. And Kohanim Zrizimim. And Kohanim are very careful about these issues. And therefore we're not going to worry about them mixing that up and saying, well, if I can put a Vlada Tuma into the mikveh, I can also put an Ava Tuma into the mikveh. No, they know that there's a distinction or a differentiation in the Tara of a Vlada Tuma versus the Tara of an Ava Tuma. And therefore, since it's really relegated to the world of Kohanim, we trust the Kohanim not to make those mix-ups. Tosafot says that it could have relevance for Yisrael, because we know that any mashkeh that is posel truma, that means that a mashkeh that's a sheni l'tuma, that could make truma pasul, make it into a shlishi l'tuma, chamim regozer, that makes a kli into a rishon l'tuma. So you do have a problem, because rishon l'tuma can make a sheni the tumah and chulin. That means even for Israel, there could be a problem with the vlad ha-tumah. Because what it says, we must be dealing with a kli that has holes in it, or doesn't have the capacity to hold liquids, and therefore it's not going to become tamei from liquids, so you're not going to have this type of problem of it become a rishon the tumah, that we probably make even for a chulin. Or Rashi says that the kohanim zizimim is the fact that kohanim are very careful with their kelim not to let them become tamei. Never a kli of a kohen becomes tamei, that's an unusual incident or an unusual situation, and that becomes then a miltut lo shchicha. As we said many times before, miltut lo shchicha lo gazru bo rabbonon. The Rambam weren't goes there in those types of situations of unusual occurrences. And that might also explain why it may not be relevant for Yisrael on the regel. Yisrael on the regel is engaging with kodoshim, and so why wouldn't Vlad HaTumah also be relevant for him? And the answer might be because, like we said before, that if a kli becomes tamei on the regel, that's an unusual occurrence. It's an unusual occurrence. Therefore, under the same rubric, you would say the same thing for Yisrael in that situation, that it's not something that should be considered for a gzerah, because it's an unusual occurrence. Tashma, Dama Rav Chiya Barashi Amarav, Nida Shein La Bigadim, a woman who's menstruating, who has no other clothing to wear, and therefore she wants to be mitaher her clothing that she was wearing, Maremet Vitovele Bibigadea, she can be a little bit devious, and she can go to the mikvah in her clothing itself, because then it doesn't look like she's going to put the clothing in the mikvah, she looks like she's going to the mikvah. It happens to be that her clothing goes with her into the mikvah, and it's mitaher the clothing. And again, if you say that we worry about ancillary activities in doing tefillah, then nigzor dilma ati l'tzvuli be'inayu. Why don't we worry about the fact that she might then come to put them in the mikveh straight out and not do them while she's wearing them? So again, shani hota mitoch shlo hutrala el yadei mabush, since it only was permitted for her to do this when she was wearing the clothing, zechurahi, she'll remember it. It's similar to the case with the drawing of the bucket. Since the only permissible way to do it is while you're drawing the water, people remember that's the reason you're allowed to do it, and you can't just do it outright. Similarly over here, if she goes into the mikveh with her clothing on, she knows the reason it's working is because she's wearing them. That's an unusual scenario, and she'll remember that's the only way to do it, and she can't do it outright, bring them to the mikveh. Tosva does ask over here, isn't there a problem with taking clothing into the water? Because Tosva is of the belief that shriat bigadim, soaking of clothing, is considered to be a problem of mechabes or melabain, of laundering clothing. That's even without any detergent or without any scrubbing, just soaking them in general is a problem. So how could it be that we allow her to go into the mikveh with her clothing and let them become soaked through, where that's a problem of melabain or mechabes? Forget about the issue of being metaher them in the mikveh. Tosfot says that there is a difference between how you soak the beged. If you soak something derech, a way of kvisa, of a cleansing process, that's problematic. But if you wet something or soak something through in a way that is tinuf, is something that gets it dirty, then that's not considered to be kibbutz. An example he gives is a hand towel that you people use after they're washing. So people keep washing, using the hand towel becomes soaked through, it becomes totally wet. Nobody over there says that the towel being soaking wet is a problem of kibbutz. That's because everybody's wiping their hand on the towel. They're being metaneif, they're dirtying the towel. The towel is not functioning by being soaked as a laundering process, but rather it's absorbing the water, and that's part of a dirtying, quote-unquote, process. Similar over here, when the woman goes into the waters, she's not looking to cleanse the bigadim. She's going there derech tinuf. Generally, the waters of the mikveh are dirty and not clean. And therefore, when she's soaking them derech tinuf, that's not considered to be melabain or considered to be mechabes. Others suggest that this concept of shriato, zoi kibuso, is limited to situations in which the beged has a stain on it or is very dirty, and therefore it's considered to be, the soaking is considered to be a laundering process. But in a regular beged or a regularly worn piece of clothing, soaking them would not be considered to be their laundering. Now the Gemara brings Rav Yosef's explanation as to why it is that we can't put kelim into the mikvah on Shabbat. That's gzera mishum schita. He's worried about you squeezing out the clothing, the liquids from these items. Amalei Abaye, so Abaye questions his Rebbe, Rav Yosef, tina kelim d'bnei schita ninu. That works for clothing and items that are absorptive. Kelim d'la b'nei schita ninu ma'ika l'meimar. Non-absorptive kelim, utensils, kelim, that don't have any problem of schita. How do you explain the problem of putting them in the mikvah on Shabbat? Amalei gzerahani atuhani. It's a gzerah for one for the other, meaning that we go zera on kelim that are not l'schita, atu kelim that are l'schita. Eitvei kohani to yufta. Gemara asked all the same question asked on Rabbah about this idea of having gzerah l'gzerah, or extending the gzerah beyond the core item. The shani leke de shanina, and they give all the same answers that they gave for Rabbah. because both of these reasons require you expand the gzeira from the core problem to other ancillary areas which don't have the core problem, and therefore we ask from all these different situations where we don't see the gzeira being expanded beyond the core problem. And the Gemara in each of those instances gave an answer as to why it's different, whether it's milta do shchichahi, or whether it's because there's some unusual way that you're doing it, so zachuhu, so that you remember what you're doing, you won't mix it up. So we had all those reasons, they were equally applicable to answering those questions on behalf of Rav Yosef. Now we have a third opinion in the Amoraim as to what the problem of putting a utensil to make a tahor in the mikveh on Shabbat, and that's Rav Bibi Amar, Zera Shema Yishaheh. The problem we have is that this person may tarry or delay putting his kelim in the mikveh before he comes up for the regel. He'll say, look, I got plenty of time on Yom Tov. I'll do it on Yom Tov itself. Why should I do it before Yom Tov? And we don't want that. We want it to be all ready for the regel and tahor for the regel, and therefore we want him to take care of it beforehand. So the problem of Shema Yishaheh makes it that we don't allow you to put these utensils in the mikveh on what seemingly is Yom Tov. Because this is really only an applicable reason with regards to the regel and Yom Tov. It's not a reason that would apply really to Shabbat. That actually would then help explain the Rambam's psak with regards to this, which is the Rambam therefore says that the reason you can't put kelim into the mikvah on Yom Tov is because of Rav Bibi, and the reason you can't put kelim into the mikvah on Shabbat is because of Rava, which is the upcoming explanation we're going to have in the Amoraim. But that distinction is because Rav Bibi's statement only really is relevant to Yom Tov, not relevant to Shabbat. On the other hand, Rashi makes it relevant for both Shabbat and Yom Tov, and he explains the problem is Shema Yishaheh, the longer you wait around without taking care of this Tumah, the more likely you're going to forget about it and cause Tuma to Truma. And then when you cause Tuma to Truma, that'll cause a problem of Chiv Mita Deb Shamayim. Because then you'll have to make a mistake and use it with Truma. That'll cause Tuma to Truma. And then you may come to eat that Truma that's Tumea. And all of those are all problematic. And therefore, delaying or tarrying carries with it too high a risk. And therefore, we want to force you to put it in the mikveh as soon as possible. And therefore we preclude you from doing it on Yom Tov, and maybe according to Rashi, even on Shabbat. And Tosro points out that this problem with Shema Yishaheh is really only applicable by utensils and not by a person. So even though a person is allowed to go to the mikveh on Shabbat and on Yom Tov, that's because people don't delay being metaher themselves. They do tarry or procrastinate when it comes to being metaher, their kelim, but with regards to themselves, they don't do that. In addition, there's less likelihood that they're going to make a mistake. They know that they're tamei, and therefore they're not going to bring it into contact or bring themselves into contact with Trumari Truma, as opposed to Kelim, where you forget about the status of the Kli, and therefore you're going to use it, and then cause the Tuma to the Truma, which could have all sorts of negative ramifications. Now, Rava Amar, Mipnei, Shenikireh, B'kimitakein Kli. Looks like you're fixing the Kli, because it looks like you're changing the status of the Kli from Tamei to Tahor, which makes you now making it functional Kli on Shabbat. And people misconstrue that as being a permissibility to be metaken kli, to fix kelim on Shabbat, or to change the status of an item, or to make it functional on Shabbat. Which if you do that in the physical realm, that would be very problematic, and would be in melacha on Shabbat. As opposed to here, where it's in the spiritual realm, it is figuratively mitukan, but it's not a real tikkun, therefore it's only an iser derabanan, not an iser doraita. And as we saw in Rashi earlier on, Rashi thinks that even Rabbah, who says that the problem is Shema Yirvenu Damo Amod B'Reshut Rabim, incorporates also Metaken Kli in his explanations as well. And we find out with the majority of the Rishonim that when it comes to explaining why it's a problem to put a Kli into the mikveh on Shabbat and Yom Tov, they usually use a combination of any two out of these four Amoraim. They combine two of the reasons because that way gives it a broader swath of coverage as to why it is that we don't put them into the mikveh on Shabbat and Yom Tov. And it helps to explain more of the cases or scenarios rather than just the narrow scenario that we're speaking about here about why can't you put it into the mikveh on Yom Tov or Shabbat. And a nafka mina between whose reasoning that you subscribe to will be, for instance, a situation in which you have a kli that you buy from a goy that needs tefillah in order to be used because you need tefillah to kelim. So if you think that it's a problem with sharing every random dot amot b'shut rabim, or you think it's a problem with mitakein, both of those would be a problem even for a kli that requires mikveh because it was purchased from a goy. But then if you think the reasoning is Rav Bibi's reasoning with Shema Yishaheh or Shema Yischot, Shema Yishaheh is not really relevant by a kli of a goy because the kli of a goy doesn't really affect the food items that are cooked in it. And there's no reason to think that there's going to be a takala because of the fact that the person keeps it around and doesn't bring it to the mikveh. So there's no reason to be gozer or to Shema Yishaheh. So if that was the case, then you would think maybe it is mutar to put them into the mikveh on Yom Tov and Shabbat. So where it says, Yochi Adam Nami. Why don't you say the same thing about a human being? That it's also nirek mitakin, because here you're changing the status of the individual from tamei to tahor. Why is that any different than a kli? The verse says, Adam nirek mekar. A person, it could look like they're doing it for another reason. It could look like they're going in there to cool themselves off. They're going to take a quick dip in the water because they're hot. And that, then they won't be misconstrued as being mitakin, the Adam, because they won't think he's going to go to the mikveh. It doesn't look like he's going to the mikveh. He's going to cool himself off. You only put a kli in the mikveh because, not to cool it off, but because you want to be mitaharet. Where it says, Hantinach maim yafim. That works if you're talking about nice water that you want to dip into. But maim raim, if you're talking about dirty, disgusting water that's a mikveh, then maik of the maimer, when he jumps in there, it doesn't look like he's cooling himself off. That looks like he's going to the mikveh. So amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak pamim shadam babishrav. The times where people come back during a heat wave, virochets afilu b'mei mishra. And the person soaks himself, even in soaking flax, which is water that smells and is putrid. Nevertheless, he just needs to cool himself off, and because of that, he jumps into that water, even though it's disgusting water. So there is that possibility that even in bad water or disgusting water, that people do it in order to cool themselves off. Where it says, Tinoich b'meyot chama. That makes sense when you're talking about in the summertime. B'meyot gshamim, ma'ika l'meymar. In the wintertime, when it's cold out, there's nobody trying to cool off, and nobody would jump into this disgusting water just to cool off. So it must be that he's going to the mikveh, and it'd be mucha milto that he's doing it to the takein. So Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, no, pamim shadam ba min asadeh, miluch lach betit. Sometimes a person comes from the field all covered in plaster, cement, ubitsoa, and feces, brochets afilu b'motak shamim, and he rinses himself off or washes himself off even in the coldest of times, even in disgusting water, just because he's covered in so much dirt and feces that he wants to get rid of it. He just needs to do something to wash himself off. So he even used this less than pleasant water, and in less than a pleasant time, when it's cold outside, he'll still will do it. So he says, all right, you got us. We figured out that you can have a person go in water, and it's not mucha milta that he's going to the mikveh, because there are all sorts of other reasons that people go into the water all times of the year, in all types of scenarios. The problem is, that's okay, tinach b'Shabbat. That makes sense in Shabbat, where you're allowed, quote-unquote, to go into the water and re-rochets and clean yourself off. But, b'yom ha-kippurim, ma'ika l'meymar, on Yom Kippur, where it's not permitted to wash yourself, then how do you have that excuse that you're allowed to go to the mikveh on Yom HaKippurim if you don't have the ability to wash yourself on Yom HaKippurim? So, Rava, mi'ikim midei de b'Shabbat shari l'yom HaKippurim asur. Rava says, it's just a logical reason. It's true that if you were looking at Yom Kippur independently, you would have that problem because you're not allowed to be rochets yourself on Yom Kippurim. But if you look at it in the context of Shabbat, where it is permissible, then since it's permissible on Shabbat, it must be permissible on Yom Kippur. Shabbat is more stringent than Yom Kippurim. They're both known as Shabbat Shabbaton. Therefore, anything that's going to be permitted on Shabbat is also going to be permitted on Yom HaKippurim. Now, the truth is that the heter could really stem from the fact that it's really not called rechitza on Yom HaKippurim. The rechitza that's asur on Yom HaKippurim is rechitzat hana'ah. That's bathing oneself for hana'ah. If one is going through the mikveh simply to be mitahir themselves, it's not the type of rechitza that's necessarily restricted on Yom HaKippurim. And therefore, we're dealing with only a problem midrabanan. There's a problem midrabanan. If we're already saying that that problem with the Rabbanan is waived on Shabbat, we'll say that it's also waived on Yom HaKippurim because Yom Kippur can't be more chamur than Shabbat, at least with regards to Malachot. Gemara says, immediately the Rava Hoyel. Does the Rava really subscribe to this concept called Hoyel? Since on Shabbat it's mutar, therefore it must be mutar on Yom HaKippurim? Do we have that? That's not. HaKoshesh B'Shinav, someone who has tooth pain, Lo Yigamea Behem Et HaChometz. Person can't gulp down vinegar in order to mitigate the pain, because gulping down vinegar is a medicinal method of ingesting vinegar, and that's not permitted on Shabbat, because one may not do refuah on Shabbat. Aval mitabel hu bitkar darko, v'nitrape nitrape. But if he uses vinegar as a dip, like he dips his bread into the vinegar and then eats it normally, then if it works and it's curative, that's fine, because he's doing a derech achila. V'aminin Allah, lo yigamea upolet. Person can't gulp it down and spit it back out, meaning basically gargle with the vinegar and then spit it out. Then if he puts it in his mouth and swallows it, that's still considered to be derech achila. That our Mishnah, when it says migameya and says it's a problem, it's talking about a case of migameo palate, where a case where he's gargling with it and spitting it back out, which is derech refuah, which is not permitted on Shabbat. The Rav Amar, afilu mitamea migameo voleya, even if our Mishnah speaks about a case where he's drinking and gulping it in and taking it down, velo kasha, that's not a problem. Kan kodim tibol, kan achar tibol. Depends when he's doing it. If he's doing it before he did his dip, then it's normal to drink the vinegar and swallow it as part of the meal. On the other hand, if he's already done with all his dipping and he's post the meal, then to gulp the chometz and swallow it would be problematic. Therefore, the our Mishnah that says that achoshesh bishinav lo yigamem is lo yigamem whether you're spitting them out or swallowing it, because it's after the meal, it's after you're already done with your dipping, and that's all medicinal in nature, not the normal way to eat. On the other hand, the brayta that we brought that qualifies it and says lo yigamel pulei, tam yigamel balea is okay, that's in a case where it's prior to the meal or prior to your eating. There, it's still a normal way to consume it when you gulp it down and swallow it, because that's part of the flavoring of whatever you are eating. And the Gemara asks about Rava's logic over here. Pimita, if Rava subscribes to this concept called holio, then why name a holio v'kodem tibol shari? Since it's mutar to swallow the chometz before you've eaten your meal, before you've done the dipping, then lachar tibol nami shari. It should be mutar afterwards. If you're willing to say holio, it's mutar in this scenario, it's mutar in that scenario, so say that over here as well. Where it says, hadar Rava mehai. Rava retracted his position, and he held like a baye that the Mishnah must be talking about a case of Gomeya and Polate, which is clearly medicinal in nature, and that's why it's a sore, and he retracted his position. The Gemara says, we might do the Hai Hadarbe. How do you know that Rava retracted this position? Dilemaha Hadarbe. Maybe he retracted the position with regards to Yom HaKippurim. When it says, Lo Salkadatcha, you wouldn't have thought that. The Tanya, Zeba Breito, Kol Chayve Tvilo Tovlim Kedarkan Ben Betishava Ben Be Yom HaKippurim. All people who are Chayav in a Tvila can go into the mikveh normally, like they would do on any other day, even on Tisha B'Av, even on Yom Kippurim, where there's an Isser Rechitza, you're allowed to go to the mikveh. So we know that you're allowed to go to the mikveh on Yom Kippurim, and therefore Rava's logic is just explaining that. And therefore we wouldn't think that he retracted that position, because that position stands in consonance with this Breita that we're bringing over here. So it must be that he reversed his position with regards to the Chometz on Shabbat, and he learns like Abaye, that we don't say that before the meal it's okay, after the meal it's not okay. It's only the way that method that you use. If you gulp it and swallow it, that's fine. If you gulp it and spit it out, that's medicinal nature, and that's not okay. The Tosfot over here points out that Breita that says, O chayve tvilot, you do it kidarkam on Tisha B'Av and Yom HaKippurim, he says that's dafka in their day, when tvilat bizmana was a mitzvah, and they went to the mikveh on time. But today, our women don't go to the mikveh on time, because all the women who are nidot were choshesh that they're a zavag dola. We make them count Shivanikim, which by definition pushes off their day of the mikveh from when they really should have gone to the mikveh for Nida, and rather because we're Suffolk Zavagdola, we extend their Tara period, and that Tara period turns out they'll go to the mikveh on a day that's not considered Tvila Bizmano. Therefore, we're not going to allow them to go to the mikveh on Yom HaKippurim. Although Tosfot then rejects that because he brings the proof that even though there's Tana who believes that Tvila Bizmano is not a mitzvah, and he still thinks that you're allowed to go to the mikveh on Yom HaKippurim. So that means that there's not a correlation between the two items. So tell us what it says. At least with regards to Tisha B'Av, I can solve that problem. Because Rabbi Chanina ben Taginos says in the Gemara in Tanit, Kedai Beit Elukeinu LaBeit Tfila Achat B'Shana, that it's worthwhile to mourn the Beit HaMikdash, that's significant loss, to give up one tefillah a year, to not have it go on Tisha B'Av, is a worthwhile investment, or really abstinence, because that's the proper frame of mind that a person should be in on Tisha B'Av and not being going to the mikveh and being mitire themselves. Therefore, abstaining is the right thing to do. So that's at least with regards to Tisha B'Av. With regards to Yom HaKippurim, Tosfot explains, and this would be true as to Tisha B'Av as well, is that there's a big difference between the Zman of the Gemara and Zman HaZeh. And that is, Tosfot points out that going to the mikveh today is only for one reason, and that's Tashmisha Mita, that's the Muteret LeBa'ala. And since on Yom HaKippurim and Tisha B'Av, Tashmisha Mita is Asura. So if that's the scenario that she's going to mikveh, what's the point of her going to the mikveh? She's only going to become mutar in something that's not permitted anyway. And Yom HaKippurim, in the old days, when the woman coming to Ora was not only for Bala, but also to deal with Tarot and other things that she came into contact with, then there's a value to going to mikveh on Yom Kippur or Tisha B'Av, because we make her Tahor to deal with Tarot. But that's not irrelevant today. It's only that's relevant today is Tashmisha Mita. So then there's no reason to go to the mikveh. And she can just as easily prepare herself on Erev Yom Kippur, and then go to the mikveh immediately after Yom Kippur on Motzei Yom Kippur. Tosfot asks over here, how is the Gemara so sure that Rava's retraction was with regards to the chometz, not with regards to the case of the mikveh? So Tosfot brings at first the possibility that If he retracted his statement of chometz, that's only a single retraction. On the other hand, if he retracts his statement with regards to hoyil, not only does he have to retract his statement with regards to hoyil, he also has to retract his statement with regards to the reasoning behind why you can't pick a kli in the mikvah on Yom Tov or Shabbat is because of metakin kli. He'd have to retract that as well. So he'd rather retract one item than two items. Tosafot says he's not so clear that that's the case. First of all, the Gemara doesn't say it. Number two is, one is connected to the other. The reason he has to hold of hoyil is because of metakin kli. So it's not that he's retracting two statements, it's all part of one big statement. The reason he holds of hoyil is because he believes it's metakin kli, and therefore it's only a single retraction, not a dual retraction. So there are some who say, like we mentioned before, that the bright that says that one could go to the mikveh on Yom Kippurim is the trump card, and therefore you see that there is permissibility to go on Yom Kippurim to the mikveh, so that part of Rava must be correct, and therefore we'd rather have him retract the statement with regards to chometz. For another possibility is, as we saw in Rashi before, that everybody holds a metakin kli. So even if Rava was to retract the statement that the reasoning behind the kli is not metakin kli, but one of the other reasons given by the other Amoraim also subscribe to metakin kli in some way or shape or form, and therefore you would have to subscribe to this issue of hoyo, even if he was to retract his position with regards to metakin kli. Therefore, it's a better solution to have him retract the statement with regards to chometz. All right, now the Gemara continues. The Shavin Shemashikim et Amayim B'Kli Evin. So in the Mishnah that everybody agrees that you can be Meteher, the potable water, by being Meshiket, by connecting it to the Mei Mikveh and making it Tahor. Avol Lomat Bilin. But what you can't do is put a Kli that is Tamei into the Mikveh. My Avol Lomat Bilin. What does it mean you're not allowed to put something into the Mikveh? Amashmoim B'Lim et Kli Agav Meimav L'Taro. You can't take a Tamei Kli and put it into the Mikveh at the same time that you're doing the waters on Yom Tov. Mani Matnitin. Then who's the author of our Mishnah who says that it's permissible to do Hashaka on Yom Tov, but it's impermissible to be Mitayer the Kli along with that Hashaka? So it's Lo Rabbi V'Lo Rabbanon. Doesn't fit any of the Tanaim that we have associated with this position. The Tanya, Ein Mat Bilim Et Kli Agav Meimav L'Taro, Ein Mat Shikim Amayim B'Kli Evin L'Taran. Divrei Rabbi. Rabbi says, correctly, the second part of our Mishnah, that you can't take a Tamei Kli be Mitaher it along with the waters inside of it, but he also says that you can't do Hashaka on Yom Tov. If that's the case, that goes against our Mishnah that says you can do Hashaka on Yom Tov. And the Chachamim, on the other hand, say just the opposite. They say that you can do Hashaka, like our Mishnah, but they also say you can be matpil the kli damei al yedei the mashkim that are found in it, which goes against our Mishnah. And that's what the Gemara says, mani, I Rabbi, if it's Rabbi kashi hashaka, hashaka is a problem for him because he restricts hashaka, and our Mishnah says it's fine. I Rabbanon kasha hatbala. According to the Rabbanon, they think hashaka is fine like our Mishnah, but they also think hatbala is fine, which our Mishnah thinks is not fine. So ibai deima Rabbi, ibai deima Rabbanon. There are some that suggest that the Mishnah is authored by Rabbi, and some that suggest that it's authored according to the position of the Rabbanan. Ibai Deima Rabbi, the position of Rabbi, is Reisha de Braita b'Yom Tov, the Seifa b'Shabbat. In the Braita, the statements of Rabbi and the Chachamim are really bifurcated statements. They're not speaking about the same situation. The Braita that says, Ein mat b'lim et kli agabe meimav l'taro, is the Reisha, is speaking about Yom Tov. On Yom Tov, you can't be matbil the kli agabi meimav l'taran, but the diuk would be that you can do hashaka, and that would be similar to our Mishnah, where you can't do hatbala of the kli agabi meimav, but you can't do hashaka. The second statement of Rabbi that says ein meshikim et amayim b'kli evin l'taran, that's talking about on Shabbat, you can't do that, and certainly you can't be matbil the kli agav the mayim to be mitaheret. So the first statement of Rabbi is about Yom Tov, the second one's about Shabbat, and when you're medayik out of his first statement of Yom Tov, that would match up with our Mishnah. And that's the answer. And our Mishnah is speaking about Yom Tov, and therefore it matches up with Rabbi's position in his first statement, which is about Yom Tov. And some suggest that it's according to the Rabbanan, that it's according to the Rabbanan, and our Mishnah is talking about Shabbat. So once again, the first statement of the Chachamim is about Yom Tov. The second statement of the Chachamim is about Shabbat. And the Chachamim say, Matbilin Kli, Ayugebe Meimav L'Taro. When they say that you can be Metayera Kli while you're being Meshik the Mayim, that's on Yom Tov. On Yom Tov, you're allowed to do Hashaka and Hatbala. Both of those are permitted. Now, the second statement of the Chachamim is about Shabbat. Meshikim et Mayim B'Kli Evin L'Taran. That you're allowed to be Metayera the waters, and you'll be Medayek from that, that only to be Metayera the waters is permitted, but not to put the Kli in the Mikveh. That's talking about Shabbat. And that distinction that's found on our Mishnah, like that second statement of Chachamim, would be on Shabbat. And that's what the Gemara says. Then the entire Mishnah that we had before was not talking about Yom Tov, it was talking about Shabbat. And that's why it would match with the Shita of the Chachamim. There's a very large Rashi over here that tries to deal with the Girsa. The Girsa that we have is the Girsa amended by Rashi to match the Tosefta and have the Reisha and the Sefer match up. As Rashi says, Sfarim Shalom, it's Chavar Reisha, the Sefer, the Sefer, the Reisha. The statements of Rabbi and the Chachamim had the statements reversed. And therefore, when you said Reisha and Sefer, it was incomprehensible what the Gemara was saying. And therefore, they wrote the Girsa to read, Umish Matnitin, the Mishnah. Our Mishnah is Reisha B'Yom Tov V'Sefer B'Shabbat. And they explain our Mishnah as being the differential between Shabbat and Yom Tov. And then they try to align that with the positions of Rabbi and the Chachamim over here. Rashi says that that is a very difficult reading of the text because the logical extensions of the Diyukim don't work so well. And he said it all came about because of the problem in the Girsa and the Gemara that reversed here the positions of Rabbi and the Chachamim, putting their Reisha in the Sefer and the Sefer in the Reisha. But he said, if you look in the Tosefta, it looks like what we have in our Gemara today, and that works fine when you say that Reisha and Sefer is referring to the Breita over here, and then that can be matched up with our Mishnah, which is either speaking about all Yom Tov according to Rabbi, or all Shabbat according to the Chachamim. Tosefot does ask over here, why is it that we don't permit you to be matbil the Kli Agav HaMayim on Yom Tov? Because the Kli became Tamei from the Tamei waters that are inside of it. That means it became Tamei on Yom Tov. And since it's waters, I mean, Tamei the Kli, that's a Vlada Tuma. Both of those, we said in the previous Avod, are permitted to be put in the mikveh on Yom Tov. So why can't we use a Kli that is Tamei and be Toveled in the mikveh? So one answer might be that the Gemara is not talking about a Kli that became Tamei from the waters, but a Kli that's Tamei from other reasons that you're trying to use now with these waters to put it into the mikveh and be Metaheret. And then maybe you're talking about an Avod Tuma or even something that's Erev Yom Tov. But even in the scenario of Tosefot suggests that is not permissible to be put in the mikvah on Yom Tov, because on Yom Tov you can put in kelim that accidentally became Tamei. You can't put in kelim that intentionally became Tamei because you put the Tamei waters into them that caused them to become Tamei. And now they require mikvah on Yom Tov because you created the problem on Yom Tov. That's not permitted. That's not where we allowed you to do tikkun kli through mikvah. It's only in cases where it's unusual. It happened memeila passively, that we allow you to put in the mikvah on Yom Tov when it's a Vlada Tuma, and it happened on Yom Tov itself. Okay, we're going to stop here by the two dots on the top of Yutet Amud Aleph.